Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wished for something with all your heart, but didn't have the words or the vision to call it into existence? Don't feel like a lone ranger. There are countless souls wandering around aimlessly, looking for their missing pieces in life that will complete their big picture of living an abundant, radiant, and thriving life. Today, each and every person suffers from I.O., information overload. We are bombarded with never-ending words. However, I.O. leaves us asking, now what? Where do I go from here? Where do you go to consciously find your way to receive the answers you desire, to improve your life, health status, your proper lifestyle, your family's health and welfare, is to the now what, where do I go from here? The Star Waters and Sandy Rogers Show, airing each Thursday from 2 to 3:30 p.m., is where you'll find your answers. Star and Sandy know how confusing it is having this expert or that health professional barking at you with their opinions of what they know you should be eating, which pill for every ill is just right for you, or what you should be thinking about the availability of your time when it comes to providing healthy food for you and your loved ones. When you are constantly convinced that you lack the time to prepare your own food made with ingredients you purposely add and know it is safe and nutritious, you are now being programmed to eat fast, eat processed, because you're too busy. Don't believe the hype. Together, these wellness advocates will provide cutting-edge information, straight, no chasers, to educate you and give you the words and vision to ask the question, now what? Where do I go from here?
Hello, everyone. Greetings and welcome to Now What? Where do I go from here? And normally there are two moderators, Star Waters, also known as the Wellness Wizard, and me, Sandy Rogers, who sometimes referred to as the Wellness Gangster. Star may be joining us a little bit later. She is out taking care of some business with that computer. You guys know how that is. We got to have that thing in order to run our lives, especially when you're doing all this work in the universe. So, Star, we extend blessings to you, and we know that you'll be with us if the situation permits. So we start our show each week first by giving thanks to our ancestors, because our ancestors have given us so many blessings and gifts to us to enrich our lives. And we know that we stand on their shoulders for strength, fortitude, knowledge, courage, resilience, and the list just goes on and on. So as we learn, practice, and do better, we're showing appreciation to the ancestors for all that they've given us, for that golden wisdom that they've imparted to us in regarding to health and wellness. So ancestors, we give thanks. We just give thanks every day to you. And we are so honored that you have us and you take care of us on a daily basis. So thanks. So normally, Star would give us an inspirational message, but I'm going to read you one of my messages, and it's called Back to the Basics. It can be found at revsandy.wordpress.com. And we're just going to keep it moving with what we normally do here on the show. So this particular message says, to achieve your big breakthrough, you may need to go back to the basics. We must be fully prepared by constantly re-examining the thoughts and motives of what we are doing. You're standing at the threshold of the big breakthrough to your greatness. What actions got you here in the first place? Was it your determination to succeed, or was it your tenacity to overcome the obstacles that appeared on your path? What are those beginning actions you took? What are those beginning actions you took to get you to this very point of the journey? Back to the basics may mean you stopped studying your field and it is time to get back into the books to learn. Back to the basics may be the drive you possess that would not allow anyone to stop your forward moving train. Back to the basics may simply be remembering to give thanks in all things, all the time, possibly staying connected to the source. Are you truly ready for your blessings? You are on target and fast approaching the goal line. Be mindful of your thoughts and beliefs that allowed you to get here. The dream is still active, and you can feel it deep inside of you. Feel it completely. Be totally consumed by the emotions. You must be ready and prepared, fully geared to receive the bountiful blessings. This is your time. When returning to the basic is mandated, we go there joyously and gratefully. We do whatever is required of us to do. We reap bountiful blessings. Today, I examine my position in obtaining my goals. Is where I am where I desire to be? If the answer is no, reluctantly or otherwise, consider returning back to the basics for your answers. Back to the basics is always a welcome spot for me. And I wanted to make sure that we started with that for the very reason. That's what we're going to be discussing a little bit later today that in the show is back to the basics. So, audience, we thank you for being with us and joining us on this journey on our show here. Now what? Where do I go from here? And we invite you to be a part of the live discussion. Our call-in number is 516-531-9819. We welcome all comments. You would do that by pressing 1 on your dial to let us know you want to speak live on air with us. Now, one word of caution is that the microphones are extremely sensitive, and it picks up all type of background noises like rustling paper and things like that. So if we open up your line, we would just ask that if you're not speaking to mute your line, then that way as other people are listening and to the rebroadcast, it would be a good quality of sound. So again, thank you for being with us. Thank you for being a part of Now What? Where do I go from here? So I'm going to open the show this way. My very dear friend, Renee Parker Booker, is on the brink of doing her third show with us today. She has been so gracious in being transparent and sharing with you the story of some opportunities that she's experienced in life and giving you advice and wisdom on how to come those with a great sense of pride in what you can accomplish and not being defeated by those moments, which could be limiting if you allowed them to be. And the next step of her three-part self-sufficiency series was explaining to you why and how she got involved in the gardening process. And, you know, a lot of us, we've steered away from that for whatever reason. I think it started probably back in the 60s when the supermarket became so popular with all of us, and we were just excited that we no longer had to grow our own food, but we can just go into this building and that the food would be there for us to purchase. But that process or that system has not really been good for our health. And the processed items that are there and the items that are masquerading as food are really causing havoc with our body temples. And so today we're going to talk about teaching and reaching the youth. And we have a group of youngsters that's going to be coming on about halfway through the show. And Renee, she'll tease you sometime and say that she ain't really into kids. But look, she loves these babies, right? And she loves teaching. And so it's not just the children that she's teaching, but anyone that comes and offers any type of sign that they want to learn about how to grow and what's the best thing to grow and what you do and how you do it and when you do it and like that. So without further ado, I'm going to bring Renee on. And like I said, we've talked about so much so far, but we still have a lot yet to go. So, hey, buddy, you on here?
I am on here and just chuckling because you mentioned about the children. It was like, yeah. But these guys are special. And that's not to say I don't children. It's just very hard and challenging at times to deal with children, especially this particular age group, because you have to harness their attention. But and the beginning, back to the basics, is old. So appropriate for where we are, what we're doing, and what we're about to discuss. Because it just we are, we've had to go back to the basics. You know, the whole process of where we are now, full circle, a lot of us still haven't quite gotten there, but the process of how I ended up at the garden was, of course, out of necessity. It in turn turned into a passion that in turn has now turned into teaching. And that was, as my new term, my organic thing that has happened along my journey. So I guess I can put that in my bucket list of things I've done. I'm a teacher now. But
yes.
The kid, that's a real twist in itself. I don't mind teaching anything that I know or sharing my knowledge. I think that's something we all should do, the each one reach one, each one teach one method. But the garden, what about something different for me? Because as I began to relearn things I already knew from a little girl, because a lot of us gardened with our grandparents or our parents, and it became something that eventually we no longer did or didn't like to do. I was in the group of didn't like to do it. It became a necessity. I ended up getting back to my basics with the plot at the garden, and life just kind of catapulted, and then I kind of leveled and mellowed or evened out, so to speak, during my journey with employment. Things were a little bit more comfortable for me. But the garden still persisted. It even became more of a passion for me. Forward, I guess maybe it's been 2 years now. I'm now coordinator of the historic Mapleton Community Garden, where I started and where I've been gardening. So now I'm manager of the garden. And a couple of years ago, after the meeting, because we do this big registration to have people come in and purchase their plots and so on and so forth. So I'm not quite into the season, but a young group, I won't say young lady, it was a group, it was a homeschool group, that were they were looking for some place to extend their learning and apply it to their STEM program. Well, agriculture and growing encompasses all of that. So along the way, we were going to meet, and it didn't really happen right away. So it was like, let me just spend my money and come in and get this thing going. And it was like, no, you know, there's a process. So we started going through the process. We finally got together. And when she got there, she and Anjanette and Tracy, when they got there, you know, they had the little kids with them. And, you know, kids grow fast, so they're a lot taller, but they're still young kids. So back then, they were little itty-bitty. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know, that's nice. You know, get the kids involved as it should be. I think this is going to be awesome. So she wants the big plot, and I did everything in my power to talk this woman out of this plot, because back to the basics means just that and what you're saying, but that means start to finish. You need to clean this plot. You need to bring the dirt in. You need to start from your humble roots, the bare basics. So I talked her back into the smallest plot that we had. They came on board. And I still don't know whether the kids came reluctantly or not. I think they enjoyed it. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we put them straight to work. And I do believe they enjoy it because they enjoy parts of it. They enjoy parts of it. So with that, it was manageable, I think, for them in the beginning. But it was kind of rough going because, again, it was work. The fun part doesn't come in until after you reap your harvest. So in the process, I think it was trying to get them to enjoy what they were doing. And I have to give the kids major pats on the back because they dig in just like the adults, dragging wheelbarrows, shoveling mulch. You know, they actually put the work in, and there is a lot of work involved in gardening. And in the end of it, you end up seeing the fruits of your labor. One of our favorite takeaways is when they were able to taste the green beans. Of course, no one liked green beans. And the look on everyone's face when it was like, yeah, here, take this. You know, we just snapped it off the vine and passed it off to them. You know, no washing. You know,
right.
Everybody's looking crazy. Like, ew!
I'm not right. You're not in the store. It's not in a package.
No, this is it. This is it. Here you go. And they loved it.
Yeah.
And they loved it. And I guess I could say they've been eating green beans ever since. Unfortunately, the rabbit decimated the green beans that they grew this year, so we didn't get green beans. We're going to try at it again next year. But, you know, they jumped in, both feet in, and I'm sure it's been a good learning experience. They get to learn the mathematics portion of it. They get to learn the scientific aspect of it. My favorite is you send them on a path or on a job. You know, here, go pull the weeds and do this, and somebody runs across a worm. Then all of a sudden, it's like the little kids that all of a sudden get quiet, and you have to turn around and look and see what they're doing, and they're all down digging at the worm like, ooh, look. And it's like,
what you got there?
So, I mean, but that's still part of the ecosystem. You see worms in your soil, you know you've got good soil. So, you know, that's the opportunity to run over and let them know, you know, that's awesome. You know, if there are worms in it, you know you've got top-grade soil, and your crops and your vegetables are going to grow. So everything you do out there ends up being a learning experience. And they've, in turn, taken their learning experience and develop it into little entrepreneurs. They've got the urban advocate, and they have the Shorty Sweet. I don't remember that aspect because I don't put my hands in that. I do the agricultural part where they sell their goods. I harvest, as a matter of fact, my particular plot that I have just herbs in. So I harvest, dry the herbs for them that they'll be selling on their webpage. So they'll be selling lemongrass, oregano. I actually bag and have harvested apple mint in spearmint form. So I'm trying to stack them a little inventory so they'll have something to actually sell. And, you know, across the way, we all kind of do that in the garden, you know, assist them in their ventures or help them in their ventures and what they do to grow into little, strong little human beings. And, again, that goes back to you saying I'm not really a kid person, but these kids warm my heart so much, and they're such a pleasure to teach. They're eager. You know, they suck up the whole process, you know, and they get out there and they actually even make it more fun, I believe, for the adults. Sometimes they get a little sidetracked, but to be expected. We do too. But they get out there. Yeah, they get out there. They dig. They learn the process. You know, right now they're in the process of readying their beds for the fall. And they have four or five plots at the garden that they themselves maintain. They weed. They manage those plots themselves. They plant, of course, with supervision, but they do the planting, the picking, the weeding, maintaining around the plot. You know, they assisted us in putting mulch down. I mean, they're really hands-on. And it's really good to see because it also teaches them a level of discipline. Gardening is a discipline function because you drop the seed in the ground. It doesn't just come up. You know, you have to wait on your harvest. I mean, there's a process. So it teaches them so many different angles in life. It teaches them patience, you know, and then reward. And then sometimes we don't get rewarded. We were cleaning the beds, and they got overzealous, and we had some late-planted zucchini or squash. Really don't know which it was because it was so young, but they're still in the stage of identifying the plant. So needless to say, they snatched them up too, so we won't have late-blooming zucchini or squash. I think we kind of burnt out on that anyway, but yeah, they pulled it up. So. And they're ready because we'll be going purchasing plants from Truly Living Well. They have a plant sale on the 5th. So we'll be buying plants and doing what I like to call like succession planting. So we're going to plant plants, and we're also going to direct seed the seeds in the ground. So the plant, of course, will beat the seed as far as growth, but by the time the plant already maturing, the seeds will be up. So, like the cabbage, we'll be able to cut the cabbage, but there'll be another head right behind it, and everything won't come up all at once. So, I'm looking forward to that.
So, in your planning of what's going to grow in their plots, so you're sitting with them and going through, quote-unquote, your business plan with them as to how you're going to be doing what you're doing out there? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. We sat down the other day and discussed what should go where. You know, cabbage, broccoli, let's see, cabbage, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, not so much Brussels, but cabbage and broccoli, cauliflower, they take up a lot of real estate in a plot. So you'll get a head, you know, then that's it. Hence, I want to plant a broccoli plant and the seed. So when we cut that one, we'll still have another one to cut that needs to mature a little bit more. It'll be kind of stagnated as the planting. The kale and the collards, that's something you can plant, but you can take up half the space and have more product because of the way it grows and the way you harvest it. So,
right, I was getting ready to... I was just getting ready to break that down when you said it takes up a lot of real estate, because somebody may be out there like, well, what is she talking about, taking up real estate?
Well, room in the plot. I'm sorry. Room in the
no,
plot.
No, no, no. Don't be sorry. I just was because
explain
I know that
it.
That's the way that, you know, how you talk about it. And it makes sense, but it makes even more sense like me. And I've been out at the garden for 3 years now. But this was my first time ever doing a melon. And I grew this cantaloupe plant from seed at home, started it off, and then when it got to be about a foot or so high, I took it out to the garden, and I was like, so where am I going to put this? And so there was a vacant plot, so to speak, and I found room in it just to, you know, to put my little foot-high plant. But when I tell you that 1-foot-high plant have taken over that whole 4x8 plot, that's
exactly
what she means by taking up real estate. One plant. And it amazes me every time I go out there, like, well, dang, where you going now? So
exactly. Growing outside the plot, actually.
Yeah.
And those
things,
right. So certain things like that, for instance, once you know how it grows, you know, you can trellis it up, and you can make it grow up on a trellis. That will take away from it growing on the ground and taking up all the space on the ground. So the collards and the kale, they do grow up, but you can harvest them from the bottom up, and as you harvest the bottom leaves, the top leaves are still growing. So...
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorites, kale and collards, to grow, because especially for myself, particularly a family of one, I can grow outside my little front door and literally sustain myself off of like 4 collard plants, 4 kale plants, and it's way more than enough for myself. They, on the other hand, they can pick off the bottom, band them up, you know, sell them. I know they sold their zucchini and squash this year. So, and that's another plant that produces an abundance, a large abundance. So, you know, they're beginning to learn now. Next year, they'll almost be seasoned. I will suffice to say next year, because it'll be their actual full year and coming full back around and growing the same crop that they grew summertime this year back again. Because I have to always explain, you have 4 seasons, and you have early spring, late spring, or early spring, okay, let's say where we are now. We're in the fall. So we're doing fall planting that we want to get it in the ground, get it up and growing before that frost, and anything that you put down now usually will survive the frost and will continue to grow all the way through January, February, until we get that crazy frost where it just kind of kills everything. Your kale, your collards, they will probably survive. The broccoli and cauliflower, maybe, maybe not. It depends on the temperature. But you'll grow all the way into January, February, and by that time, now you want to harvest everything and get everything up so that you can ready your soil again for your early spring summer crop. And it just snowballs and rolls and rolls, and you never have to stop planting. You always have your summer crop and your winter crop. I personally prefer winter crop. It's a lot easier to tend. There's less weeding. You can tend your plot almost any time of day because of the weather. It's usually comfortable, unlike the summer. As you well know, we get out there at crack of dawn. you know,
yep.
7, and we try to finish by 10:30, you know, no later
These
than 11.
These mosquitoes ain't no joke this year, y'all.
Yeah, I always like to say that this ain't the sun that we used to play in. It's a totally different beast. It is really hot. And the heat will take the life out of you. And you want to maintain, even with the kids, when I'm out there with the kids, I try to make sure that they're having fun in what they're learning and what they're doing. Because once they stop having fun, then the takeaway won't be the same. As a matter of fact, I don't even think they realize they are learning.
Exactly.
And
you know what,
yeah.
what I truly appreciate about the children that we have in the garden with us, the Polyglot Academy Society, is that they welcome other children. Like there are other, like volunteers will bring their children, or some of the other gardeners will bring their children or grandchildren, and they just like embrace them, you know, like they've been knowing them all their life. And that's such a beautiful thing to see, you know, especially if you're not around, because I'm not really around children like that other than, you know, our kids at the garden. But to see that love and acceptance and a welcoming of the different children that come in, it just really does my heart a world of good.
But also know that they, in turn, are teaching their peers. So that was part of the premise with the Urban Agri Kids, is to take that group, their peer group, because kids will learn from kids as opposed to an adult telling you this is what we want you to do. Well, when you see other kids growing their own food, having fun while they're doing it, you're actually you're adding to your any value to your home. It's better, put it like this, it's better than a part-time job. Because you get to bring food home, you know. You're actually adding value to the family structure. If you've grown tomatoes or squash zucchini, you know, and I know for a fact they get to take that food home and eat it for dinner. The green beans, you know, that they grew the other year, they were eating that for dinner. The mint that they pick, their mom puts it in their water. So, you know, this level of sustainability, I don't even know if they really understand the full scope or focus of what it means to be self-sufficient and what they're doing. It's fun for them, you know, but this will take them, the old teach a man a fish, will teach a kid to garden, he can feed the whole community.
That's true. That's true.
So, yeah,
so
the polyglot.
So you've also gone into other neighborhoods and communities and assisted with having those same type of experiences for the local children, right?
They have. I think they've been helping people build container gardening. You know, they go out with their parents. Because, again, the polyglots, they're homeschooled.
Right.
And they, in turn, branched off, and they've got several different entrepreneurial paths that they've chosen to take. I'll probably let them or their parents speak a little bit more on that because my aspect or the piece that I have with them is in the garden and teaching them.
Yeah, but no, I had asked about you going into other communities and with some of your friends and things like that,
but
helping them to teach their local neighbor children and things. That's what I was asking, not so much about our kids.
Yes. And even friends, you know, I call it, you know, what they call it, kitchen beautician. I guess I'm a backyard farmer. I go out, and yes, I, you know, I'll sit and just look at your yard, and it's like, honey, you know, you could be doing this, that, and the other. And the next thing you know, I have people call me Renee. I just, you know, went to Lowe's, Home Depot, and got this, this, that, and the other, you know, and talk them over the phone what to do, you know, if this is dying back, maybe you're overwatering it, you know, take a picture and send me a picture so I can see what it's doing and, you know, talk them through it, you know, because, again, as you know me, I believe everyone should be growing something. Something
exactly.
Somewhere. And because you don't have dirt or a front or a backyard, there are always other methods. There's your container gardening, you know, the geological agricultural that you can do, even if you do microgreens in a cup, you know, to add to your little salad, you know, something to boost, you know, what or supplement, if you will,
mm-hmm.
what you go out to the store and buy. And that's basically right now, I really don't have to buy vegetables, honestly.
Right.
I don't have to buy vegetables at all. I think the only thing that I do buy would probably be onions and potatoes, and that's only because I haven't grown them.
Yeah. And, you
and
know, for me, it's lettuce. And so I'm excited about putting some lettuce seeds in the ground.
Yes, and it's time. Now it's time.
It
for
grows
anyone
so
listening.
Abundantly.
Right. Now is the time for anyone listening that wants to grow. You should be direct sowing or planting plants of cabbage, kale, radish, broccoli, cauliflower. And, of course, I take a blank on a whole host of other things that you can grow. But green leafy stuff, Brussels sprouts, lettuce, all types of lettuce. And they germinate and grow fast. And you can take those and put them in one of those little flower boxes because you don't need anything
mm-hmm.
deep for lettuce. And just sprinkle the seeds down and lightly cover with some soil and keep it watered. And in 2 weeks, you'll be surprised. And then you can just pick off what you need, you know, and add your cucumber and tomato, whatever you have, and there you go. You got a salad. And I like the microgreens. I take whatever kind of greens and just throw them out and throw the seeds out, and they come up so fast, just clip them off. They go great on top of a sandwich with tuna fish. Today, and this is like a sidetrack because only probably you're the only one that knows about this, but we did this geo-ag thing Saturday at the garden. We did a workshop, and I planted sunflower seeds. Today is Thursday. My sunflower seeds are breaking through already.
Awesome.
And here's the fun thing about that. The fun fact, I didn't add any particular extra lighting. I just basically set them on a shelf close to my patio door. So I go back again.
Okay.
Yeah, no excuse. You know, everybody thinks you need extra this, extra that. Nope, you don't. You just really need some light, you know, and they will struggle if you don't have good, strong light, but you can still grow. And you can grow with just a plain lamp and a LED light bulb.
I like that yours came up even without using that because, you know, like not everybody have the lights. And so to know that, and we've not had all bright sunny days since Saturday either. We've had a couple of days of rain. So that's
correct.
Extremely good to know.
Mm-hmm.
So that
mm-hmm.
that whole process. And so Richard Campbell is the founder of that system that Renee is speaking about. And he has a book called River Rocks Grow Plants. And his book is so complete and so elementary. You can pick that book up and you can grow, especially the microgreens. I love them because of their nutritional value, like Renee. But then you can also take and pot those or replant them in soil for much larger plants, you know, like your tomatoes and things like that. So. But check it out, you know, if that's something that you're interested in. And like Renee said, she
in 4 days, 5 days, however many, I can't count right now, but she has new life already coming up from the rocks. There's no dirt. It's sand and rock.
Yep. So, yeah, this sustainability thing has actually taken over my life. And it's not a bad thing. The only bad thing about it, I just can't ever seem to see my kitchen table. So that's the only thing. I feel so bad. It's like, when are you going to clean this off? And no sooner than I clean it off, you know, I go to the garden, and I'm out there twice a week. So I go to the garden, and, you know, we're always bringing stuff home.
Exactly.
Laying something
exactly.
up dry. Or now it's the pears, and I brought home a basket of pears, and I was digging around, you know, trying to squeeze them, and I bit into one that was like you get in the store, succulent, juicy. So I got really excited.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay.
That in a minute.
I haven't done mine yet.
Right. Yeah, you have to touch it. It's almost, it feels like a little pressure, like a almost ripe avocado. And
okay.
I could have let it stay a little longer, so I'm going to let them stay a little longer. And then, again, the sustainability thing. I picked these off a pear tree at the garden. Normally, we don't pick them. They just drop on the ground, leaving a slice. Wait a minute. That's food, you know? So I'll either be making a pear pie, or I am going to try my first attempt at pear preserves.
Oh, okay.
Never made them
okay.
before. Never done it before. So, again, this is sustainability because, you know, we're always talking about growing, but, you know,
right.
you have to grow this. Once you grow it, you got to take it home and do something with it.
That's true. Yeah.
You
know. And so, you guys, you know, like with Renee, she has her front walkway to her front door. She has all these, she has a raised bed, and then she has some containers that are out there, but it's all arranged very neatly. And so unless you're really right up on it and stuff, you don't know if it's just foliage
mm-hmm.
or what it is. And she lives in a subdivision that is ruled by the I forget the name of
the
organization.
HOA.
Anyway, that
the HOA.
Yeah, the HOA. And even in the front part of the house, that's like right next to the house, she has a mixture of plants, herbs, vegetables, and you know, and things like that. And so, I know for me, and I just have a few containers at the house, and it's like I'm forever around plants, and you know, just and so that gives me life, and so I wanted to add that Renee's talking about her table in the house that always has some type of harvest on it. I know it's like I can never turn around without doing something to a plant, and it's just beautiful. It's just a beautiful experience.
It's good energy.
Yes. Yeah.
It's energy. It's just tending to them. And here's a funny. I don't do very well with houseplants. I can grow food all day. I've got pineapples
wow.
that I've seeded. I've got key lime trees that I've seeded. But give me a houseplant.
Oh.
And I don't know if I over what I think most of it because you can smother a houseplant, so I've been told. You know, love on it too much by giving it too much water. So I don't do well with houseplants, but food, I can just grow it abundantly, whatever it is. I mean, I've got enough to keep me sustained. Like I said, I don't really have to go to the grocery store. I've got eggplant, I've got green beans, I've got peppers, cucumbers. A whole host herbs, rosemary, lemongrass, dill, thyme, mint. I've actually brought the mint home because if you plant mint in the ground, it will take over, so I put it in a pot, you know, several different types of mint growing. But again, being self-sustaining and knowing that if something happens to the food source, unlike it did with the toilet paper, I would be okay. Because even though I may not get everything I want, I would be able to sustain myself literally out my front door, off my front porch.
Right. And that's the beauty, you know, and that's what I was talking about. Like, you know, regardless to how much of a house or apartment, whatever, you know, you can always grow food. All you need is light and some sunlight, what you were just explaining with the geoegg. So mm-hmm. I see we've got at least one of the parents on the line, and I'm going to go ahead and open up for them. And so, Renee, I'm going to let you go ahead and coordinate the conversation or, you know, talk about how you guys have done what you've done. And I'll throw in my two cents every now and then. But I'll let you continue the conversation. This is basically your process. So we've got Anjanette with us.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Hey.
It's Miles. He's here too.
Hey, Miles.
And Miles was the green bean taster.
Yes. And the cabbage. She loves the cabbage as well.
Yes. So, Anjanette, give us a little background on the polyglot and who they are, and then segue from the polyglot into how they pretty much ended up being the urban ag. Give us that, please.
Sure. So the Polyglot Society of Atlanta is a homeschool co-op with three families. We came together 3 years ago, though the kids have known each other since they were 2 years old. They started out in a small private school. The private school was run by a couple that 3 years ago, well, 4 years ago, started having some marriage troubles that were spilled into their inability to manage the school properly. And so the kids, polyglot means a speaker of multiple languages. So the kids have been learning Spanish and Mandarin since they were 2.5 years old. And we had always jokingly said that these kids would never be able to enter public school. And so once the owners started having their issues, we started looking into public schools because Georgia does have the dual language program. And I want to say it was in their second year when we started looking at the schools. And so myself and one of the other parents that will be joining the line soon started touring a couple of the public schools. And I knew 15 minutes into the tour, it was a waste of my time. So at the time, the kids would have been rising second graders. And when we were on the tour, we went into one of the Spanish classrooms. And they had a worksheet on the desk of the kids doing numbers and colors in Spanish. Well, again, our kids have been learning Spanish since they were two, so they can read and write in Spanish. So I was immediately turned off. So I then looked into one of the predominantly white international private schools in Atlanta. And because Miles has a late birthday, they were going to require him to repeat first grade. And so I'm like, well, wait a minute. His curriculum is even more advanced than what you are teaching your first grader. So why would I allow you to make him repeat at $27,000 a year? And so I'm like, no way. So we came together to his class, and had multiple conversations about why don't we try to attempt to recreate their classroom outside of this environment. We'll still utilize the same curriculum. We'll still have Mandarin and Spanish tutors to come in. Preferably, we would like to see if we can even hire their current teachers. And so at the time, it was 9 families. And, of course, everybody was like, let's do it. And so after about 3 or 4 parent meetings, one of the other moms, again, who will be joining us, Tracy, was like, I don't know that everybody's really in. And I'm like, yeah, you know, they are. They come to every meeting, and she was like, yeah, but I don't think that they're really trying to do this. I think they're just listening. So she said, I tell you what, let's put a payment requirement. And if they're really serious, then they'll have to make this deposit, and it will be used for the development of our homeschool co-op. Well, needless to say, the 9 quickly became 3. And so here we are, the Polyglot Society of Atlanta. And so that's how we got started. And so we are 3 working families. So we needed a place for the kids to go during the day. So how we run our co-op is, at the time, pre-pandemic, we rented office space. So the kids had a classroom, and all of their tutors came to them. But in addition, each family had a requirement to be on site one day. So we always had an adult with tutors, with the kids and tutors. And so I always say families, but, you know, let's be real. We all know that it's the mothers. And so each mother had a day that they were to be on site with the kids. And the beauty of that is each of the mothers had a different strength. And so I am one that's all about learning outside of the classroom. So I was always looking for opportunities to take the kids somewhere and create field trips for them. One of the other moms is an entrepreneur herself. So she taught the kids entrepreneurship. And then one of the other moms is a crafter, and so she assisted the kids in their business in creating a lot of the things that they would sell in their Shawty Sweets and Treats adventure. And so that is how we got started, and so that's who they are. And another beauty of this experience has just been the number of people reaching out to me for various reasons, whether it's, hey, you know, I work here, you know, you think the kids would be interested in coming to see what we do here. And I had someone else to reach out to me and say, hey, the Mableton Community Garden has plots available, and I think it will be a really great idea for the kids to get a plot and utilize that for their STEM. And so, again, I know nothing about gardening because it got the kids out of the class. And I distinctly remember meeting with Renee when we decided that we were going to do it. And Renee is like, you sure you want to do this? It's a lot of work. I don't know if you want to do this. And I'm like, what is this lady's problem? I said, we're going to do it. Boy, did I learn quickly how much work it really requires. And understand and appreciate why she had the conversation with us. But what I will say is, though it has been a lot of work for not only the kids but the mothers as well, is that it has been a beautiful experience. From the communities of friends that we've created in the garden to actually improving our eating habits, and I can only speak for my family, improving our eating habits in our home. because I am not one that's big on vegetables. I got a couple that I like that are staples in our household, but the gardening experience has allowed us the opportunity to expand our palate.
Indeed it will.
Well, awesome. I have opened up Tracy's line, and I believe there's going to be one other parent. I don't have the number, but if you're on, I just need for you to hit one on your phone dial, and then that'll let me know who you are, and I can open up your phone as well to be a part of the discussion. But Tracy, your line is open.
Hi, I just want to say our family has truly enjoyed the fruits of the garden. I was one of the naysayers as a parent. I was like, Anjanette, this is going to be your project. I have done gardening with my grandmother as a 9-year-old and 10 and 11, and I don't want to do this. However, we do it for our children, and I agreed that we would check on the garden every Wednesday when the children attended their extracurricular activities at Mabel House. So Anjanette did not quickly learn that the garden was hard work. In fact, she probably didn't learn for a whole planting season because she would go out and water on Saturday, which we appreciated. However, we pulled weeds and that kind of thing on Wednesday. But
trees.
Now... Thanks to the pandemic, we have all been out there working. And now that we've gone a full calendar year, we can truly say that we have had a wonderful experience. We're in it again. Anjanette has committed us to many plots that I was informed one day when I walked out there. But I'm looking forward to it. I really am, because when I take things home from the garden, I'm just beaming, and, you know, it's like, look at what we got from the garden. And I think I posted on Renee's Facebook page about those hot peppers. My husband said, ooh, I underestimated the garden because those peppers were hot yesterday. So we are all in it. Evan is learning so much. She goes out there and she checks on the baby birds that they saw in one of the plots. Every time we get there, she runs to check on those baby birds. So we're having just a wonderful time with the plot, and I just thank Sandy and thank Renee so much for taking us under their wings. A lot of times we're asking some of the foolish questions that I know they're like, do they see there's a weed? Yes, pull the weed. But we are learning so much, and I just want to thank you all publicly for just adopting us in part into your gardening family. We are enjoying ourselves. Thank you so much.
Thank you for saying
that.
Yeah. So we've got two additional callers, and I'm going to say the first three digits of your number, and then you can let us know who you are. So first we have 770-401. You want to give us your name. And then when you finish, we have 770-617. Same thing, please. So
this is Lamont.
Hey,
yeah,
Lamont.
This is 401. Asher's dad.
Hey.
I wasn't included in Anjanette's introduction. You know, because it's mostly the women, because that's what I heard. So. I just wanted to say, I get a chance to go out every blue moon to the garden and help out, and yes, it is some work. They pretty much put me to work when I get there. Oh, hey, you get that barrel. Put all that stuff in there. Take that over there. Like, oh, yeah. But I appreciate the opportunity that the kids have to go learn some gardening. I think it's a great thing. It's opening up their minds to other things other than what we normally see, you know, as far as going to the grocery store. They have their own. And I just want to say I appreciate the opportunity, and pray that things continue to grow. There you go.
Well, thank you, sir.
Wonderful. Great workout, too, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, it is.
You will lose 5 pounds easily.
Easily.
No
sweat
doubt.
It off. Yeah.
No doubt.
And then our next caller.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is Kim, Asher's mom, the third mom in Internet's equation. And I'll add that Lamont did a great job covering when one of us couldn't be there. So thanks, Lamont.
Awesome.
Honorable mention.
Wow.
It's a good thing.
It's an awesome thing. I commend parents because it takes the parents to make this all happen for the kids. And believe you me, when times, you know, as these kids mature and grow, you know, my fear is that they won't like it anymore. So I really want to make it and keep it a fun atmosphere for them. But even more so, even Tracy, you're the best leader I've ever met in my life. But somebody who doesn't know, she gets in there and gets it, I mean, to deal with people who either, A, didn't like it, had no idea that this is what they were going to be doing, to see the transformation or the full circle happening. I mean, it's rewarding for me as well because you actually like it. But the fun part is you get in here, okay, you get a little dirty, you know, you're sweaty, what have you, but you get to take home real good food. That's the takeaway for me. You get to take home food, and you get a good workout in the process. And as Anjanette said, we've all basically have become family, a garden family. I already told Anjanette I'm expecting a graduation from high school invitation. I know it's going to be a while, but I plan on being there. So make room, y'all. I want my invitation.
Yep. Well, Kim, you want to go ahead and continue what you were saying?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say that I'm also appreciative of this experience for the kids, and thanks to Anjanette for having the site that this was something that they could really do. I know I was probably like Tracy, like, oh, I don't know about this, being in the dirt. But I have to say kudos to Tracy and Anjanette because they've really been the ones who've been out there the most, and Lamont too, far more often than I have. But this year, I've been there a couple of times this year, so you guys will be seeing more of me. And I'm happy that Asher can continue to work in the garden. And the day we did all the work with laying the mulch and all, it was really. Was really a good experience for me, and it just left me wanting to participate more. It's a really good experience, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Awesome. Yeah, because I knew Lamont. I was going to come to your defense, Lamont, because, like, I know you. I didn't really know Kim. I'm like, well, who is this woman, right? So he's been out there with us. So we've heard from the parents, Anjanette, Tracy, Lamont, and Kim, and they've really given us a good overview of themselves and also how the Polyglots Society of Atlanta, how it operates. I would love to hear from the children, for whoever has a comment they want to talk about, either the schooling. If they want to talk about gardening, if they want to talk about the businesses that they now operate, you want to give a shout-out for what you're selling, how you're selling it, how they can get in contact with you. So, Anjanette, I'm going to let you call the children off, and then we'll see what they have to say.
Sure. I will start with Miles just because I'm sitting right here next to him. And so I've asked that he stay positive.
I will.
All right, so tell us your name and your experience in the garden.
My My name is Miles. I like eating the food. I am a taste tester. I like tasting food. Even if they're the weirdest food yet, I'm still tasting. Because you never know. You might and you might not like it. The businesses that we have, like our candies, we buy candy, put them in jars, and then Asher's mom makes stickers to put on top of them. In the gardening, we have a bag that we put them in, and we weigh it. And there is a logo on that one.
Right.
And we give it to the firefighters.
Yeah, that was good. That's a good thing you guys do.
All right. Well, thank you, Miles. Evan, are you on the phone?
Hold on 1 second for me, Anjanette.
Sure.
I just had to, because my introduction to Miles just really, I'm always smiling about it. So I taught the class that Renee talked about earlier, the geoagriculture. And so in this process, I was to, this young lady was supposed to meet me at the garden, and I had 3 bags of sprouts that I had grown through that process that I was going to give to her, and she didn't show up. So as I taught the children, the students, the process, I also had them to eat the sprouts that I had just picked that morning. And Miles, he was not having it. He frowned up his nose, and he's like, I'm not eating that. And so Asher and Evan and Tracy, I think, and Anjanette, I don't think Lamont or Kim were there. And so they were eating it and liking it, and Miles was, like I said, man, he turned up his nose. He's like, I don't know what y'all doing, right? So he was not the tester that day. And something just came over him, so he decided he was going to test the one bag that was still kind of sitting on the table, because the students and the parents, they had these other 2 bags, and they weren't letting them go. And I tell you, when Miles picked up that bag and took a little couple of sprigs from out of that bag, his eyes lit up, and he was never the same. And he did not give that bag up either. I think he ate that whole bag. So that's why he says you might like it. But if you don't try it, you never know. So excuse me, you guys. I just had to go back to that memory.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Sandy. And that was the beginning of him finally tasting a lot of the different items out there.
Yeah.
All right, so do we have Evan on the phone with us?
I'm here.
Okay,
hi,
Evan, you want to tell us about your experience at the garden?
My experience at the garden is actually really good because we have tasted a bunch of stuff like strawberries and radishes. And before we started the garden, I didn't know radishes were spicy. But then after we tasted the garden radishes, I saw that it was spicy. And like if you fry them or cook them, they taste like French fries kind of. And so that's why I like the garden.
Very good.
Now, Evan is a hard worker out there, too. She's like her mom. They don't stop. Just going, going, going.
So what do you guys think about all the good, the worm stuff? I wanted them to talk about them, the worm findings that they usually come across.
So now, Evan, can you tell us about that? Because Evan was walking around with a worm in her hand yesterday.
Yes. I'm not really, like, that scared about worms because, like, they're just worms and they just move around. But, like, if I have a glove on, then, like, they're not even that harmless. So I just touch them. They're harmless, yeah.
Yeah.
You can find them anywhere in the dirt.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Where they live.
And when you find them in the dirt, that means the soil is good, right?
Yes.
That's right. There you go. And they will soon know that they have good scholarships for agricultural studies, too. So this is a nice little beginning for them.
And ever since you said that, I have actually gone out and looked. And so, to your point, several of the HBCUs, especially the ones in the Southeast, have different summer programs that the kids can participate in. Of course, they have to be a little older, but it's definitely on my radar.
Good.
Excellent.
Good.
Okay, so we want to allow an opportunity for Asher to jump in, and Asher, tell us about your experience at the garden.
Hey, Asher.
Hi. And my favorite thing about the garden is when I ate those broccoli at Miss Tracy's house. It was super good. And when we tested those green beans, it was amazing.
You didn't say they were amazing.
Amazing.
So in our and as I when I was talking about the strength of each parent, apparently Miss Tracy's strength is also cooking. She would always cook the various vegetables for the kids for their taste test, for them to compare the fresh versus the canned or frozen. And so the kids have fallen in love with her cooking.
Awesome.
So this is Tracy. And when we first started out, and we don't want to mislead anybody who's thinking this is going to feed their family for the rest of the season, but when we first started our garden, we tried several different things and literally walked away with maybe a handful or two handfuls of green beans. And so we would just take them directly to the house, cook them real quick, and do taste tests. And so if you follow us and like us on Urban Agri Kids on Instagram and Facebook, we'll repost those videos of the taste test because they're quite funny.
Okay.
Awesome.
And I would like to say to Miles, Evan, and Asher, all three of you are just the hardest working children, honestly, that I've ever seen in my life. You guys, you know, you may pout, but it only lasts like 2 seconds, and then you right off to doing whatever has been asked of you. You never have a bad attitude. You always work together. And I'm just so proud of what you guys have accomplished and how you work so seamlessly with one another. It's just really powerful. And I just want to thank you publicly.
Thank you.
And children, let it be known, Auntie Book is over the moon, overjoyed, because it means a lot to me to be able to mentor you guys. And you make it fun for me. So thank you as well. And you're doing a great job.
Thank you. And Sandy, thank you for that acknowledgement, because if you could see the face Miles is making looking at me, because as you all know, I'm probably one of the hardest ones out there and forever hollering, what are y'all doing? You know, get the moving. So thank you for that.
And it's so sincere. I just love watching them work together and how they, and I probably was making this statement before you guys came on, and how they embrace the other children, like the children of the volunteers or like Vicky's grandchildren and things like that, they just, you know, there's no wall, there's no barrier between them and others. So they have that built-in teamwork, and I'm sure it's from the example that you parents are demonstrating to them. And so, no, it's just beautiful to watch children at play and while they're learning, because if they can't enjoy what they're doing, then like Renee said, you know, they're not going to like it after a while. So you guys, the whole network of you, you know, you guys all work together as one seamless unit, and it's just powerful to see you in motion.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know what, Sandy, I appreciate that, and, you know, especially with us being non-traditional in the fact that we're African-American families homeschooling our kids, you know, one of the first things that people always ask is about social interaction. And, you know, my response is always our kids probably interact with other kids more than yours. And, you know, if you stop to think about it, in a traditional school, you know, how many times is a parent called, oh, your child is talking too much, you know, they're playing with their friends, they're not, you know, paying attention, to where our kids are just the exact opposite. They are always able to engage with not only between the three of them, but other kids as well, because they do so much outside of their learning lab. So for anybody that's on the call that's listening and considering homeschool, you know, I think it's a great option. It has been one of the best experiences for me and my family. And the fact that, you know, they do get to interact and with so many different people, not just kids, adults as well. And so to your point, I do think that's why they are so welcoming to other kids, because that's just who they are and what they get to do all day, every day.
And, you know, I would like either Asher, Evan, or Miles, one of them or all of them, to talk about what was it like to take food to the fire department, to the people that help to save lives when a fire break out.
Well, it was cool because we were doing something nice for other people who do something nice for us.
Mm. Excellent.
And what about you, Evan? How was, because they went a couple of times together, but then they also, again, because of COVID, did a couple of deliveries separately. So, Evan, how was your experience?
My experience was proud, kind of, because they're, like, saving lives, and, like, they're in hot fires, and just, I was excited, actually, because there's this they get hot and, like, overheated, and it saves them a few things on their grocery list. So that's what made me feel bad.
Good.
And so to your point, Sandy, I'm not sure if other people are listening understand that firemen, they do cook in the fire station every night. As you know, I think they have 24 to 48 hour shifts, and so they are there all together as a collective unit. And so I guess each station is a little different on how they handle the grocery shopping, because I was told by one fireman that whoever is cooking that night purchases and prepare all of the food. And then I was told by another fireman that they collect money. I guess each fireman pays into a fund, and then they utilize that funding to go out and purchase food for the fire station. So whichever case it is for the various fire stations, it did feel good to be able to help support them as they support us so often as well.
Right. Ooh, so beautiful. So one of the other things I would like, and I believe all three of the children were a part of that, so perhaps Asher could answer, and that was how you go out to the different politician offices, and so they get to learn about politics and government and how that works in community life as well. So all of the children have been out to do that, correct?
Correct. And so we did go and meet the first African-American mayor of Austell, Ollie Clemens. And so, Asher, can you tell us about your experience when you met Mayor Clemens?
It was good. That was my first time meeting the mayor. It was really exciting.
And it was really fun. Cool. All right. Well, thank you for that. So what's on the horizon for let me go back and then come to that. So what are the different aspects that the children are involved in? What businesses and what does those particular businesses, what do they offer to a consumer?
So, Evan, would you tell us about the Shawty Sweets and Treats?
It's a nice experience because we sell jars of different types of candy, and it can match with like the holidays and seasons, and we just have different sizes, and you can buy different types of candies for $2, $3, and $5.
And so I want to jump in there and just add to that. We allowed the kids to have a planning session where they threw out various ideas on the type of company they wanted to create, and that whole experience was hilarious, and I wish it was taped, but I'm going to ask each kid to give me one of the ideas that you had on what we could have started as a business. So I'm going to start with you, Asher. What was one of the ideas you had?
One of my ideas was to
that means it was a while ago, so I'm gonna help you out. Asher was one of the ones that suggested they offer coaching. So if I'm not mistaken, they started out with basketball, and I think Miles was going to coach football, and I think, Evan, help me remember here, what were you going to coach?
Gymnastics.
I didn't know that much about gymnastics.
And, well, that's my whole point. So, you know, imagine these 6 and 7-year-olds coming up with their own business, and they were going to offer coaching. So
we had
to help coach them into other areas. And so coaching was one. What was one of the other areas that you all considered as a business, Evan?
I think one of them was the taco truck. Because that's when Taco Tuesday was in a park. And we just wanted to make money by doing the taco truck.
And so, so they had considered a food truck. And then what was one of the other items? Making cookies. Okay. And so Again, as part of that process, we had a whole list of different ideas that they could potentially start as a business. And then we actually had a banker, a personal and business financial banker, to come in and speak with them and help put numbers to some of the ideas that they came up with. And so that was, again, another hilarious experience where their numbers on how much it would take, whether it was to start a food truck business or a basketball coaching business, was definitely different from the numbers he had in mind.
And Angela, real quick, say again the kids' ages, because I think no one really knows this age group that we're talking about. These are young kids. What are their ages?
Right. They are fourth graders. Evan is actually the oldest, who is already 9. Asher will be 9 in November, and Miles will be 9 in December.
Exactly. So they're not even 10 yet. And it's awesome, the things that they're doing.
Yeah. So we are down to about 2 minutes left in the show. So perhaps, Anjanette, you or one of the other parents want to kind of go through the Urban AgriKids, and the which is another one of the businesses for the polyglots, and the reasoning behind that doing that particular business venture.
Sure. So the Urban AgriKids started out, again, it's just something fun to do, and the opportunity to capture the work that they are putting in. But in me sharing those pictures, a lot of people had reached out to me and would be like, well, what do the kids have available? I would love to purchase, you know, some vegetables from the kids. So then that turned into selling just what Miles did this summer, a grab bag. And so that consisted of whatever we had an abundance of in the garden. And so for this particular past season, we had maybe 4, I think it was, different zucchini plants. And so they were really growing. And so we had tablefuls of zucchini and tomatoes. And so Miles would just get a bag and put whatever we had in the bag that day and would sell fresh vegetables to our family and friends.
Known as a CSA. Community supported agriculture. It's a big thing.
Yes, yes.
Ah, right, right. So we were starting something and didn't even know it.
Exactly.
And what about the educational aspect of that?
So their science tutor, again, this was pre-COVID, was actually working with them in the classroom about the planting process and germination process indoors. And so then that way, when they came to the plot, they had a better understanding of what was happening in the ground.
Well, thank you so much for your sharing with us, Renee. You know, you remain the master teacher out there in the garden. And so I appreciate you and for all that you give to all of us and to the Polyglot Society of Atlanta. So that's Anjanette with her son Miles and Tracy and her daughter Evan. And we've got Lamont and Kim with Asher. All of you are so worthy of so much praise because of how you come together and how you work and the love that you give back. We love you, each and every one. That is our show for today. And please join us again next Thursday at the same time. Check out the Urban Agri Kids on Instagram and on Facebook. You can check out Renee on Historic Mapleton Community Garden, I believe, on Facebook. And she's under Sweet Caliente, You'll have to spell that for Renee on Instagram. And is there any other contact information you guys want to leave with the audience?
Oh, yeah, we have the garden site, our new webpage, mapletongarden.org.
Awesome. And that's it. Thank you, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate you, and we'll see you.
Thank you for having us. You guys, remember, it takes a village.
Indeed. Thank you for being a part of our village.
Thank you.
And we can learn from the children, that's for sure. Thank you all. Good night. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.